Yes, he is here.
I'm not. Thank you. This is Bilal Lambert, who is the maintainer of the Tabin menu system, which, as you all know, is a system to easily add packages and programs and whatever to the Tabin menu with all applications, which is a very nice system, but unfortunately, it appears some people, some Debian developers, non-developers, do not know how it works. So Bill will explain it to us in details, the backgrounds and everything. Everyone, please welcome Bill Alomer.
So thanks a lot for your introduction. So normally, if you use Node or KDE, you can click somewhere and you have a nice Debian in the menu, and click in the Debian and you have the list of the Debian menu for application, game, and it keep it sync with all the program, all the package installed in your machine automatically. And this part is done by the Debian menu system, and so it appears in all the window manager. Okay, so it's a bit of history. So it's all program that was written in 1996 by Joost Soeteren, and currently maintained by me and Vortex Briggs Pedersen, which you might know him because it's a Danish translator. So there's GPL, he's Austin Elliott. Conversion is 2.1.27, because I never have an excuse to bump the version. So it's used by two major distributions, Debian and Mandrake. It's used by custom Debian distribution. It's used by the various derivative distributions of Debian or Mandrake. Debian, there are 45 window managers that are supported by the system. The system can generate menu for 45 window managers. There is 2,000 and more when you entry in Debian. Of course, you don't have all the package installed of your computer, so if you won't end up with 2,000 when you entry, but it's translated in 34 languages, thanks a lot to the Debian translation team. It's written in C++ using the C++ template library. That's not my choice, it's the choice of Joost Soeteren. It's small, there is no external dependencies inside this libc or libstdc++, so you can install it on your box and you want to bloat it, and you can say, or you can install it on even a very small box on your PDA, or you know it from on your disk or things. So, the components. So, of course, there is the menu package that maintains. There is a menu entry file, here are part of the package which contains the welcome program. So each maintainer is responsible to provide the menu entry file to register its package in the Debian menu system. So of course we do KDE assurance to check whether the menu file are good. There is menu method script. The menu method script are part of the window manager package. So window manager must provide the menu method which tells the menu system how to generate menu file in the window manager format, because all the 45 window manager in the Debian all use a different menu format. So you have for each type to specify what's all of the format and how to write the correct menu. So sometimes you can have a single file for all the menu, but sometimes you have one file for each menu entry. And you have a directory layout, which is a subdirectory for some menus, a file for, sometimes you have a more complex scheme. But the menu methods are able to handle all that case. There's a maintenance script hook, so there's a little script snippet inside the maintenance script that tell it to update the menu when the package is installed. Okay. So the menu package, there is also four parts. Update menu, the first component which gather all the million tweets, do some filtering, and then run all the menu method and feed the output to the menu method. The install menu, which is used by the menu method to generate the menu file in the good format, goes by documentation and the translation. Okay, so we see more details in the update menu program. So for most people, this is a front-end to menu, because you only have to run update menu and you will take care of updating the menu. So so in fact, it's run in five steps. So the first step is to try to make sure we won't run two time update menu at the same time, so we won't overstep. Understand? And we won't run it two times during dpkg run. If you install, if you upgrade to the machine, we install maybe 200 packages. Maybe you don't want to deploy it to run 200 times for each 200 million thing you add. You want to add only one at the end. So okay, so the second part is to gather all the volume minimum tweet to check in the various directory when minimum tweet can be. To check whether the constraint package are installed. In each minimum tweet, we must specify, we can specify a list of packages that must be installed in order for this minimum tweet to be displayed. So you can say, for example, if you want to put a minimum tweet to run to play chess against the computer. So you need two components. You need a program like New Chess, which is able to play a computer player, and you need a graphic frontend like I don't remember the name of the well known. And so of course the graphic frontend doesn't depend of new chess, because it can run, we can play again in the environment if you want. New chess can run in text mode, you don't need, but the menu on tree that provides the two needs both. So you can specify the menu on tree that you need the two package, and the update menu will only display the on trees if both packages are installed. So there is a fourth step, we apply menu refactoring defined in the translate menu file. So this was first implemented because there were small changes in the menu layout, which move a game, we move it at the top level. So instead of changing at once all the menu entries, there is a system to tell, okay, please move app game to game, and we will do it automatically. So after, we can tell the maintainer to fix their menu on tweet, but it's not a problem if they don't do it soon. And the last step is to run all the rollout menu method in turn, and fill them the digest, which I've included in the previous step. So the digest is more or less a cap of all the menu on tweet, but we have removed the menu on tweet for packages that are not installed, and we update the refactoring. So the next time the new program, it is used to write menu method. Theoretically, we can write menu method in whatever language we want, but menu method take in input the digest, which is a specific format. So in fact, we use instant menu method to read the digest and to do what you want with it. So there is a specific language which is used to write menu method to be understood and interpreted by instant menu. So this language is customizable to the menu.h file. That is, each time the menu method will include the menu.h file, which it can modify its behavior by redefining the stuff. For example, there is a tilde function. You can redefine it either to use the short title or the long title of the package. So the menu hash. The menu.h file allows you to fine tune some parameter globally for all the window manager at once. Okay, you can could also fine tune the menu method if you only want for one window manager, which want to affect all the window manager at once. Currently, you can use the menu.h. You can apply a change at once for all the window manager. So take care of encoding negotiations, where we are more detailing later. But each window manager has a certain set of encoding or file encoding that it will support and encoding will assume for the file. So in the best case, it will assume that the file is UTF-8. In that case, you tell when you write the file in UTF-8. Sometimes it will assume the file in this ASCII 7-bit. In that case, well, you have to make sure you write the file in ASCII 7-bit. And sometimes it will use whatever encoding is the local encoding. It's a bit more problematic because user might change the local encoding between the time it generates the menu and the time you run the window manager, and everything will break. But we try to take care of that. So of course, yes, this step also applies to translation. So we are translation sources for languages as are applied at this step. So, okay, so now there are 3 points. I will want to see in more detail. So the first, the automatic menu update mechanism. So package, we need to add this sentence to their maintenance script, to the post tense, the post LM script. And they will check whether update menu can be executed. And then they will run it. And update menu, when you check for maintenance script, we detect the DPKG is running using the DPKG lock. And DPKG1, he set up, he locks the DPKG lock in to ensure you can't run DPKG when DPKG is already running. So it's a way to detect DPKG is running. So when the DPKG lock is called, you know DPKG is running. So in that case, the update unit will go to the background and will wait for the DPKG to release the DPKG lock, and then it will run. And of course, if there is you see there is another update menu instance which is already waiting for the lock, it's just to give up because it knows this menu instance will be able to perform the final upload. So at the end, the menu is updated only once. Second part, translation system. So the translation are shipped in the menu bucket are .mo file type. So if you are translators, you are used to PO file. So this is what you get when you compile the PO file, you get .mo file. So it's totally a standard way for translators. So they are just a big file with all the sections, the menu section, and to translate, so it's not too difficult. So many methods need to include an output encoding statement which says what kind of encoding the window manager will assume for the output file. So this is the four used in practice. You could use other in practice. So ASCII is for ASCII 7-bit. So it is the default. It means that the window manager doesn't know about fancy character set. In that case, most translations are mostly disabled. Second case in the ISO Latin 1, and which is the second wave of window manager. They were with quite support character, but they were only supporting AD character and always assuming this is ISO Latin 1 and not the other 8-bit character set. So I've thought that the best option is the UTF-8. In that case, well, you generate the menu in UTF-8, and so you can support every encoding you want all at once. And there is a result, it's local, which means to use local Carset encoding. But of course, it's problematic because if the user chunks the encoding when the window manager is run, since the file has been written before, it will misread the file, so it's problematic. So we try to chunk the window manager to avoid this, but sometimes. It's very common behavior to say, well, we only support the local encoding. So. There is one reason. If the window manager has his own menu set, when you start it, you want to display his own menu in the local encoding language. So it seems, for the window manager perspective, it seems better to assume the menu will be in the local encoding because it dispenses it to record the menu. Because if you say I will put the menu UTF-8 and you run under no UTF-8 local, you have to record the menu file when you read it to the local you run. So it's a bit of work, so people say, well, it's easier this way. Okay. So, translation system. So menu variables will be automatically translated. Menu variables are automatically replaced by the normally by the original name in the menu entry. For your variable $title, which translates by the title, $section by the section. And if translations are activated, they are automatically translated in the requested translation. But translations are only performed if the output encoding, if it fits in the output encoding. It means if you have a French word with an accent and you convert it to a window manager with only support ASCII 7-bit, it will let it in English rather than remove the accent or do it something strange. Well, usually people think it's better not to translate than to have wrong diacritic character or strange thing. Another way to use the system is to disable automatic translation with the Lubuntu language legacy and then use the translate function to have more fine grained control of the translation. So the idea is sometimes when you write a menu file, you want to use the name of the section, for example, as identifier in the menu format. Because sometimes the menu format requires you define the abstract structure with identifier, and then you async content, and then you don't want the name of the abstract structure to be translated. For that, to keep the English name, and then since the value is set to the translation value. The reason for it is that sometimes the manager won't accept, we accept only a subset of the possible word for identifier. So we won't accept 8-bit character, we won't accept space, we won't accept missing funky. So we take the English name and you remove every strange character and you drop. And it's not important with the language. Yeah, only you have a clean file. Okay. So the menu configuration. So, well, a great strength of menu is that it's extremely configurable. So can change its behavior in a lot of way, and in several layer. So Debian provides the default setting, the default set of menu entries, the default set of menu methods. The administrator can override them in a system-wide way, so you will affect every user by putting file in etc menu. But the user can override that also. Notify is tilde slash menu, enfin dot menu. And overriding means you can add new menu entries, you can remove existing menu entries, or you can change menu entries. You will put a new menu with the precedence of the other, and the other won't see. If you use user level customization, without why you run update menu manually. You have to run yourself in update menu because, of course, the system won't be able to go to each home directory, user home directory, and update the menu here. You have to do it manually. So there is also the translate menu file. We can be used to refactor the menu view, which is also can be either a system-wide setting or user-wide setting. And modify can be executed as script, so we put menu on tweets when one. This is very useful. This means the menu file will actually be a program that look at maybe what is the name of the user and will generate the menu on tweets for that user. This is used for in the custom Debian distribution. If I understand correctly, they assign the role to user, and this user, for example, and they generate additional menu for Android which match this role. And in fact, they just have a single menu file which look at what is the user in the database and what extra menu entries will need to generate, which would put that. So, well, the new component is menu XDG. It's a set of menu methods by Christianet, who has the KDE maintenant, that generate multilingual .desktop and .desktop file for use with XDG menu window managers. So XRAD, it means KDE, and in Edge, it means GNOME and KDE. So the idea is to generate, is to take the menu database, generate file in the format expected by XDG menu manager. So it's a rather complex format. We need three menu methods. One to generate dot desktop files, which are menu entry properly. Then we generate dot directory file, which generate the submenu if you want, the part of the layout. And the directory are multilingual in the sense that we are able to ship all the translation for all the language in a single file. So menu will do that. It will take all the translation he has and write in the single file, so you won't have to rerun update menu if you change if you want to change the translation. If you go to KDE and change what is your language, you change it. Pick anything and automatically we'll have the translation. And the last part, it is a dot menu file, which are actually XML files, and we contain the full menu layout, which includes all the rest and use them to generate the system. Well, yes, that's something I failed to mention. In fact, there is documentation. It's part of two main parts of documentation. First, there is the Debian menu manual, which describes the system, in particular the language, the XML menu language, the format of the menu entry, how it works, and there is the Debian menu soup policies, which is part of the Debian policy package, in which describe the menu layout. why do we have apps, editors, apps, database, apps, and currently we are in the process to try to make a new release of the Debian menu soup policies. To include more sections to cover all the new package we have been added from the start, because from 1996, of course, there are lot of change in the package in Debian. A lot of new applications have been added that are not covered easily, and we try to add sections that cover them. We also try to add some level of section to more fine tune some sections that are very large, like net. You have apps net, but it's apps net, you have everything, which internet, you have IRC clients, you have a web browser, you have a mail, and so it's too much of the ideas to split that in subcategories. Yes, also for the translation, currently only the section, the menu section are translated. We don't translate actually the title, because most titles are very hard to translate. For example, how do you translate Emacs in French? Well, you can just let Emacs, but then if you won't make a very interesting translation, so the proposal to be it's, to have generic name. So the idea is to have a sort of name which describes what does the application. So you can say, okay, the application is Emacs, but generic name would be text editors, for example, not a very good choice, but. And then we can translate the generic name, and we can add the generic name to the translation set, and then you will have so we won't translate the title, but we translate the generic name, which is more accurate. But this is interesting because there are some issues. Sometimes the generic make things look worse, more complicated than just the title, because. Yes,
so I think I will stop here. Yeah. Yeah, question? Yes. Where are the menu entry files located? Is it part of the program package?
Yes, it is user share menu. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the package installs the menu entry file in user share menu.
So if I want to create a Debian package, yeah. I have to install menu entry file, yeah. And that's the folder, yeah. To make it available. Yeah.
But there is tool, developer, for example, as to the DH install menu, that will take the menu Debian package.menu and will automatically put it in the correct place, and will automatically add the maintenance script hook to the package, so the menu is correctly updated.
Can you explain something about how the menu was created? So first of all, the package maintainers tell Debian how they want their application to be added to the menu. And then you can also override it with a system-wide policy, more or less.
Yes.
And users can do it on a user basis, but they have to rerun update menus.
Yes.
Yourself. Yes. Suppose now that I want to fine-tune menus depending on certain users.
Yes.
So I say that user, this menu will look like that, and that user, this menu will look like that. Do I have to do anything special to, well, I have to to the menu in his home folder, I guess.
Yes.
And then afterwards, if new applications get added, you have to run update menus for that user, or?
Yes, so I propose that have a nice trick. For example, they set up the X startup file to automatically run update menus with the user privileges. So each time the user log, the menu are updated. So maybe the time was very slow, but no, we are fast machines, so if you only have one or two window managers, it's quite fast. Of course, I have all the window managers on my machine for testing, so it takes a very lot of time. So this is one solution. So in this case, the user won't have to do anything. Each time it will log on, the update menu will be rerun.
What if you log in as the user and then you run the update menu? So
no, we do it in the X startup file. So
yes.
There is a.
So every time it looks
yes.
So that happy probably.
No. Well, it's used to have a bug. So
but no, it's quite successful. It's quite fast.
Yeah. if you're in GNOME or in KDE, then you have this, well, you have the applications button, and then there's a menu under it.
Yes.
And then there's a Debian entry, and then there's sort of a new main menu. And it looks really strange. Wouldn't it be possible to put the Debian menu into?
I don't know the problem. Well, it was attempted to Woody. I think in Woody, the Debian menu was part of the main menu, but there were Debian sub menu inside the categories, and it was very confusing.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, there are different menus. The Debian menu is a complete menu. You have all access to every program. And there is the KDE menu, which is much smaller, and normally only should, in my opinion, only include the application that the KDE people think are suitable for such menu. Okay.
Well, it's the packages who also provide the menu entry for the KDE menu.
Yes.
So.
Yes, I know, but I don't think it's a good idea to have random package install the KDE menu, because there is no policy of which package can do that, and then it's done a bit randomly. So sometimes, for example, there is a menu, a desktop menu on Twist for ASCII jump, which is a text mode games, which is fun if you want, but doesn't seem to fit very well in the KDE setup. And well, the problem is there is absolutely no policy to which. So what must go in the KDE menu, and so...
Yes, in fact, maybe to complete the answer, the Debian menu provides a common menu for every window manager in Debian. So some window manager provide a menu specific for their purpose, but also propose this menu in order to give the same thing for other window managers that don't provide their own menu. So it's something common, and it's the Debian view of what is on this system.
I know, but I mean, when I use GNOME and I want I press a button and I say I want the menu, then I would really go directly into the Debian menu, because that has everything. And first go into some menu which has part of the program, and then you need to go to a submenu to actually get everything, is a bit strange.
Yeah.
But maybe it's something that should be solved in GNOME, but they just hack it to remove the actual menu and show the Debian menu only.
Yes, you can do it, because in Edge at least, menu use XML files, for the low level layout, and so you can change the XML file because they use XSLT processing, so you can have a lot of controls. They use merging of a layout, or, so you can do that, but it's a bit arcane because dealing with menu, you are not supposed to have to deal with XSLT processing, but theoretically you can do that. I think one of the issues that we have a Debian menu sub-policy which mandates a certain layout, which is consistent across all window managers. So people can switch window manager and then they have the same layout, so they know where program are. The problem is KDE-Unknown has a different layout, which is not totally specified, because it's much more clever, it uses a category, a bit like in Enrico talk, simpler, but same ideas. And then there is menu file which specifies where do we put a menu entry that have X and Y categories. And it's very complex. And we don't see any way to have that in a uniform way across all window manager. So
the menu create the menu. For example, for the GNOME desktop,
yes.
Does it create a desktop file?
Yes, it uses in Edge, it uses a menu XDG.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. So it generates the desktop file, the story file, the menu file. In Sarge, it cannot because GNOME in Sarge is not XDG compliant. So it generates the desktop file, and then you have to generate a vfolder info file, which are legacy format, which is not really documented. Or it can generate something called legacy menu hierarchy, which is yet another older way to do things. And so. Yes, because dot desktop file are not sufficient to have a menu. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't specify where do we put the menu. You have to have more files which say, okay, this menu is belong to each to this set of categories. And you have to, those are files which say, okay, we will display categories this way. And this is not far. So actually, in SARS, we have three different ways to add a layout to a set of the desktop. We have the XDG, which is like KDE. We have the legacy menu, which is used for legacy menu. And you have the vfolder info, which is all used for normal GNOME menu, which is was difficult because we knew that the next menu, GNOME version, will remove the vfolder info support and we switch to XDG. So it was, yes, in some way it was painful to release the SARS with this because well, the next version will have the XDG, so you don't have to care about the vfolder info, which is not documented, very arcane, and painful to deal with.
Maybe something small, maybe it's a feature you could add, but thinking about the question you just asked about that you press first on the KDE menu button, then you see the standard way of KDE of how they do it, and then the Debian system.
Yes.
I believe in SUSE and maybe also in Mandrake that they just get rid of the KDE button and add their own menu button with their structure. And maybe you could add a feature or something that you override.
So then rather ask that to the KDE maintainers because it's their choice, okay?
Yeah.
Well, the idea from. Okay, well, I only maintain menu, so that after. Well, each maintainer or window manager should have a choice of how he uses it. How they use it. And of course, since it's very configurable, there are a lot of ways to use it. For example, there are certain window managers, for example,
window makers that have their own set of menu entries that have a special int that makes sure they're only displayed inside window maker, and these entries are for a window maker specific module that you can start from window maker, for example properties to exit for example the about window maker, so you have an entry, you see.